know, there's a lot here. This is part of the pastoral epistles. Okay, thank you.
Yep. Take this on. Cool. This kind of looks weird. Maybe this will work out. Okay, so yes, okay. Well, it's just gonna look funny. Whatever, it's fine. Okay, so 2 Timothy, right? Paul's final letter. So obviously, you know, being the final letter, what does that mean? Is that he's shortly, you know, he passes away not too long after this, right? It's his final letter before he, you know, is executed. And, you know, that's something we have to remember when we're thinking about this epistle. Because Paul is not just writing a letter like, hey, to a friend just for any reason. There's actually something going on. And, Paul's in prison, right? He's in prison. There's a lot of persecution going on. And he is, you know, about to die. And so he's sending this last letter to his spiritual son. You know, he's like a spiritual father. You can see this letter like a father to a son in a way. Hey, Sandy.
Hi.
You can see this as a father to a son. And these are his final recorded words before that. So, and we'll get into the next one here. One second. Okay. I'm trying to figure this out. Okay, so the purpose of 2 Timothy is essentially to encourage Timothy to remain faithful, right, to Christ until the very end. And he does that into four themes, which we talked about, right? Chapter 1, we went over that, remain faithful despite fear and suffering. We'll kind of do a little recap of that in a little bit. But today, we're going to go into remain faithful by enduring hardship. You know, the Lord gives and takes away. And sometimes we don't like it, you know? Sometimes there are things that we have to endure to, you know, remain faithful, honestly. So Paul recognizes that because he's lived a life full of hardship. And honestly, it's just, it's like us. We go through hardships too. But how do we remain faithful? I think that's the big question that we're going to kind of get into today. All right. So the theme passage, as you recall, is 2 Timothy. And in here, as you can see, I kind of italicized the keep, the guard, and guard, right? The command of keeping the pattern of sound teaching, guarding the good deposit, entrusting to you, talking about the gospel, right? Here's the gospel, the sound teaching that he's received from Paul. Pass it on. Pass it on. Okay. So, kind of a little bit not as prepared as I was. But not only are we doing 2 Timothy studying out, we're also learning a little bit on how to study the Bible. Okay, we're just learning a little bit. So here's some kind of things I want you to do when you study the Bible. First, when you get reading the Bible on your own, right? First, I want you to slow down, right? Take a deep breath. Be like, okay, all right, I know I can be busy. A lot of things could have been happening. Let me just take a moment, slow down, right? And then once you approach your text, whatever book you're reading in the Bible, see if you can get some context, just some basic context, like who wrote it, who were they writing it to, when was it written. And you may not know the why yet, but at least you kind of have some understanding of what's happening in the text, right? So here we know that Paul is the one that wrote 2 Timothy, and he wrote it to Timothy, who's leading a church. That's why it's called pastoral epistles, right? He's encouraging Timothy as a leader of a church. And we're going to get into that a little bit later on. And then we know why, and I've already brought that up, right? To encourage Timothy to remain faithful to Christ until the end. Now we're going to read the text, and I want to encourage you guys to be curious, right? Being curious. Actually, when you're curious, you kind of tend to ask questions. Right? So that's kind of the idea. Be curious when you read the text. Notice what stands out. You don't have to explain everything. Just see what pops out of the page. Especially if you only have 30 minutes to read the Bible. You may not get everything, but something might pop out to you. And when it does, start being curious about that. Why did that pop out to you? Right? And then we're going to explain the text a little bit. That's essentially kind of the format of today's class. And then we're going to see what kind of life application exists from the text that we are reading. Sounds good? Okay, who's been reading their Bibles at home? Yeah. Okay, good. Hey, I love all the arms up. Thank you. Yeah, good job. Good job. Somebody's not telling you good job, I'm telling you. Okay, so the big question though is how do we actually endure hardship? Because that's really what we're going to try to find. And so this is the question. This is the big guiding question for us. So as we read the scriptures, we're going to try to answer this. And I want you to try to answer it too. As we're reading, I'll guide you along the way, but see if you can spot some of the ways that Paul is encouraging Timothy to remain faithful through hardship, right? By enduring hardship. Okay, so give me one second. All right, so I'm trying to skip a little bit only because we lost some time transitioning over. So let's go ahead and get into the text. But before we do, let's pray. Y'all, sounds good? Let's pray. Okay. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, thank you so much for this afternoon, God. Thank you for bringing us here. I guess somehow you wanted us in this room. I don't know why, Lord, but thank you that we have a room available, that, you know, we have the tech available, to present your word, this lesson, God, in an organized way, God, so it's well received, well understood, and clear, God. And I pray that that is exactly how we read the Bible today, Lord, that as we see your words, things are clear, things are well understood, and it may move our hearts in a good direction, God, in a positive way, to make good decisions, and maybe those decisions will cause a little bit of hardship, but God, I know that we're faithful, we want to love you back, you've loved us so much. Thank you for this time to pray and to read your word. We love you. Pray all this in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Cool. All right. So let's get into 2 Timothy. Let's go ahead and grab your Bibles, open it up, and let's get into the word, yeah? Okay. All right. Give me one second here. All right. Let's get into it. All right, here we go. And I read, we're going to read the whole chapter 2. You then, my son, or my daughter, right? But you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained.
Amen.
Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus. Their teaching will spread, who have departed from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes and some are for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. Man, that's kind of a strong end of a chapter, no? Yeah. I mean, Paul's not holding back here. And I hope not, because this is this last letter for Timothy. And it's really important to kind of see, take a step back and just see, you know, what is Paul saying? Like, if you could sum this chapter up in one sentence, not that you will right now, but like, how would you? You know, that's what would Timothy understand by reading this chapter, right? That's something you can ask yourself when you're reading the Bible, when you read certain chapters. How could I sum this up? What is the big idea here? Okay, so if you notice, as I was reading, there were like three areas where we're kind of moving into. It seemed like a natural pauses. Okay, and the first was when we started, it started with you then, my son, be strong in verse 2:1, but then it kind of shifted a little bit in verse 8. And then it shifted again in verse 14. So there was like three different kind of ideas here, and I want to kind of talk about them. So the question is, how do we endure hardship? And if you look here in verses 1-7, you see that Paul is commanding Timothy to be strong, right? He's telling him, be strong in God's grace, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And then he kind of goes into that. And then in verse 8-13, talks about remembering Jesus. How do we endure? We endure by being strong in God's grace, and then we endure by remembering Jesus. And we'll get into what it means to remember. It's not just the basic idea of just recalling. There's more to that. And then lastly, and this is the most interesting, and I hope we have time to do it, is this last one. It's so curious. We endure hardship by serving faithfully. Kind of crazy. It's like, serving? You know, the reason why it's so weird is because serving can be challenging. I mean, that itself can be a hardship. But Paul is saying serving faithfully, that's how we endure. And we're going to get into that into more detail. Okay? So, let's back it up. Now, you know, we've been doing this practice of just observing, right, the text before we explain the text. Let's observe, see what stands out. I'm going to read this first part, chapter 2, verses 1-7, and I want you to observe it and tell me what stands out. You don't have to explain it. We're not going to try to explain it. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. I don't know. But just tell you what stands out to you, okay? What pops out of the page? All right, so I'll read. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. All right. So let's just take a few moments and just, you know, if you want to jot down what pops into your head. Can't stop this, so weird. Okay. Weird. All right. So let's go, show of hands. What are some of the things that may have popped out? Yes, Zane.
In verse 4, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. So first, you know, we're trying to please Lord Jesus. And then secondly, we don't want to get entangled in civilian affairs. And, you know, we might ask, like, what would those affairs be? For me, I think just like worldly ideologies, politics, just stupid arguments, and maybe even like some hobbies that we might engage in that really don't glorify God. But, you know, a lot of Christians allow ourselves to be entangled in these things.
Yeah.
Instead of focusing on pleasing God.
Yeah. Thank you. Good notice. Glad you shared that. Thank you, Zane. Anybody else? We'll get into that for sure. Tim, you had your hand up?
I guess. One thing I'm noticing here is all three of these examples are some sort of difficulty that the person would be trying to do, but it's like something that's like they've been trained to do, and that they've after a while it just becomes almost rote. If you're serving as a soldier, right, you got to learn to respect and obey your commanding officer, right? And that's not probably not something that you would like your knee-jerk response would be to do, but after a while, once you gain experience in being a soldier, you would like immediately know to respect and obey your commanding officer, and then that would apply for the other two.
I mean, it's easy to see the illustrations. I mean, the illustrations do pop out of the page pretty well. You're like soldier, farmer, athlete. I mean, some of you guys can relate. Anybody serve the military? Yeah, I did. I knew you guys did it. I already know you guys did it. It's just a fun question. But yeah, I did, so I can relate to that. I know what that's like. Okay. Any athletes here? I mean, you know, hey, there's athlete. Yeah. Any farmers? Okay. Any gardeners? Gardeners.
I'm growing some sweet potatoes.
You grow tomato? Hey, let's go. Wow. You named your plant Timmy. That's so funny. Timmy the tomato plant.
It was Timmy Jr. I grew one last year too, and he also did not make
that. That's funny. I'm not good. If you give me a tomato plant, it's gonna...
You gotta
listen. Get John Oakes' advice. He is great gardener. He's got the hands. He's got the touch. He knows what he's doing.
Science.
Yeah, he's got it figured out.
Are we still looking for comments on this?
Actually, we're gonna move on. Thank you. So, thank you for your comments. Actually, the illustration is a big one, but I'm gonna kind of pick a couple that I saw, and we're gonna get into it. I mean, I would like to go verse to verse, but here are some of the things, right? Hey, we know the illustrations. That's an obvious one. Those are obvious, right? You brought it up. I mean, who, hands up, who really noticed the illustrations? Right? It's an obvious thing, right? It's a big part of that. There's something there, and I love that Paul talks about reflecting, and I'll talk about that in a second. But before we do, I want you to see something really curious. So on verse 1, chapter 2, right there in the beginning, it says, you then, right? You then, which is an interesting way to start this chapter. Because it implies that, hey, something before, right? Something happened before, and because of that, now you then do this. Right? So there's a reason why Paul even said this, you then, and then gave this command to be strong. So can anybody remember what happened before this? I mean, it was just literally last week. Any thoughts? No, just curious. I don't have any candy. That's probably why you're not having any candy. But okay, let's talk about this. So do you guys remember about remembering the faith? Remembering the faith you received? You remember that, right? The people who passed down the faith to you, the sincere faith. Do you remember the fanning the faith into flame? right? Like that campfire illustration, you guys remember that? Right? And it's a guard to keep, right? The theme passage. Right? He's talking about our faith, right? Remember those that encourage your faith. It could have been your family, could have been maybe a mentor, right? Yeah. Paul himself is also encouraging, you know, passing the faith down. So remember that. Remember to fan the flame. Throw some logs into the fire. Read your Bible, right? Pray a little bit more, maybe 5-10 minutes more than you normally do. Connect with some brothers and sisters that are in the church. But hey, he's saying, look, you know, don't be, remember this part? Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Remember that? Remember not to be ashamed of the gospel? And he encouraged Timothy to join with me in suffering. And it's so curious that he's saying it also here in chapter 2. And we're going to kind of get into that as well. But he reminds him all those things because that's how he closes the chapter, right? To guard the good deposit that was entrusted to him. And so because of those reasons, be strong, my son. Be strong. Because of those reasons, be strong. But is he saying for you to be strong as in your own strength? Of course not. Because he says right after that, it says be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. So it's not about trying harder. It's not about being smarter. It's not about, you know, being the best, right? Willpower even, okay? Like I can make it happen, force it.
White knuckle it.
Open that jar with all the strength you have. You know? Like that's how we treat our spirituality, right? It's like a jar. We have to put all this effort. But essentially, he's saying, hey, how do we endure faith? Through Christ Jesus. That's how we endure, right? Our endure hardship. And we'll get into that a little bit more because as I said earlier, remembering Jesus is part of it. But let's look at what he says next. Let's look at verse, in that scripture, in verse 2, and it says, and the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Right? Okay, so remember, it was, keep and guard the good deposit. Now, and trust, right? Pass that over to someone who's reliable, someone's able to teach, that can pass it on to others. And I like this because Paul is especially telling Timothy to pass the faith that he's received forward, right? Pass it forward. Hey, I'm going to die, but I want you to take what I've shown you and pass it on. Right? This is why we evangelize. This is why we encourage, we connect with people and bring them out to church and take time to go out there and just meet somebody and, you know, evangelize. Because we want to pass the faith on. Maybe they have some, maybe they don't. Maybe you can help them with that. And so this idea is really why we're here today. Okay? Because it started with, well, you say it started with Jesus, right? Let's just start there. Pass it on. To his disciples and apostles, Paul being one of them. Paul passed it on to Timothy. Timothy passed it on to a reliable people, right? And reliable people passed it on to others, and then to reliable people, and then to others, and then so on. So, are you a reliable person? Or are you one of those others? I don't know. You can answer that yourself. You don't have to raise your hand or anything. I think that's kind of courageous if you do, but yeah. But the idea is that the gospel is always moving forward, right? It's never just stuck anywhere. So let's go into that illustration. Actually, before we do, in verse 3, see how he says, join with me in suffering? I mean, oof, you know, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. Because Paul, actually, is this the right time? No, this is not the right time. Later I will talk about it. But remember that. Keep note of that. Join with me in suffering. I'm going to get back to that later. But he says, like a good soldier, right? Now we're going into the illustrations, which is kind of fun because we can go in on that in so many different ways. I mean, who plays, Call of Duty, Anybody?
A little bit.
We got Modern Warfare. Anybody? That's about as close as. Oh, you do? You guys play Call of Duty Modern Warfare? Okay. All right. We got some gamers up in here. Okay. All right. So I don't know if you guys are training, but I guarantee you're playing a lot. You're out there, you know, knowing how to, you know, work the map, know the secrets of the map, working with partners, know which spots are great to, you know, get a headshot. Right? So listen, you know, that's a fun way to see it, but you know, honestly, in the game, there's a mission, right? And you're playing the game for the mission, but this is not a game. This is real life. And our spirituality is not a game either. That's real life. Okay? And so like a good soldier, like Tim brought up, and Zane, you can't get entangled in civilian affairs, because what will that do? That will distract you from the mission. Take your focus away. Right? And so like here, what makes a good soldier? I guess that's something that we can, you know, ask. What makes a good soldier? Anybody? Stephanie?
Someone who is focused. Attentive.
Yes! Focus. Especially in the heat of battle. Yeah.
Following orders.
Following orders, bro. Obedience. Yes. Yeah.
Being sober-minded.
Being sober. Sober-minded. Sober. I love that. That's enough. But we get the idea, right? What a good soldier is. And so Paul is using that as an analogy for us to think about our spirituality. What does it mean for us to be a good soldier for God, right? For Jesus. I think it's easy, right? Just think about the mission. Just think about the mission. Right? And then the athlete. I like how he says, hey, an athlete can't win unless they play, you know, within the rules.
Yep.
Right? And I was thinking about Alizé over here with her archery. You know, she just can't just shoot anywhere she wants. She can't just hit somebody else's target. I mean, might be kind of, you know, you might be trolling somebody when you do, but, I mean, seriously, there's boundaries for every sport, and you train within those boundaries, right? I mean, I wrestled in college and high school. I mean, if I want to win, I can't just pile drive somebody, you know, I gotta play within the rules, right? Anybody else, any sport, basketball, how do you train for basketball? Do you go out there and just
shooting them,
right? You're just out there shooting, practicing your shot. Like Stephon Curry, right? Steph Curry, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Stephon, that doesn't work. Stephon. Yeah. So the idea is that you train within the boundaries and the structure that's laid out for you. Okay, work within that. Okay, don't jump out of that. Stay within that structure. Okay, and then the farmer. What makes a good farmer?
Get up early.
Early, okay. That's discipline, right?
No late night video games.
No late night video games. Yeah.
I think about diligence.
Diligence, okay. Yes, that's a good one.
Personally, when I've tried to like grow stuff, if you miss your watering schedule,
Yeah, you got diligence. Yes, but I like my wife's answer a little bit better. Patience. Yes. Patient, but not just any kind of patient. What about patience for a long time? Long patience. What is that called?
Long suffering.
Long suffering.
That's the word, yeah.
Perseverance.
Endurance.
I mean, sometimes the crops doesn't show for a while, for months. You know, when John and I, we were out evangelizing on campus, and the almond growers, the kings and queens of almond were walking by, and they were being introduced a new seed. And they had to make a really tough decision. They had to, do we go with the old seed that we know but costs a little bit more? Do we go with the new seed that we've never tried and maybe a little bit cheaper and maybe more efficient? But the problem is that if they pick the new seed, that's a 20-year investment because of the land.
Yeah.
Like they have to, it's really a big deal. They got to do all their research, understand what they're getting themselves into, all the details. They have to count the cost of what it means to plant a crop. So I think a farmer is very wise and knowledgeable in what they're planting, how they're planting, and being diligent, because there's something, a reward at the end, and that's the crop, right? So I think that again connects to what Paul is trying to get at. Hey, like a good soldier, like a good athlete, like a good farmer, that's how I want you to be. That's how I want you to pursue your faith. Right? And how do we endure hardship? Like a good soldier, like a good athlete, like a good farmer, I'd say focus, determination, right? Athlete, training, right? Discipline, farmer, patient, perseverance. Right? That's a lot. That's a lot. But reflect on it. I love that Paul says, hey, reflect on these things. Reflect on what I'm saying. Because who will give you the insight? The Lord will. The Lord will give you insight. Now remember, be strong in the grace that Christ has. We have to shift our attention of how we endure hardship to who makes our endurance possible. And this is where we get into, you know what? I missed the slide. This is, we endure hardship by depending on the grace of Christ Jesus. All right, so let's get to 2 Timothy 8, and we'll read verses 8 through 13. You ready? Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Now, of course, like we said before, we want to observe the text. Okay? What are some repeated ideas, some things you notice, maybe some commands, some things you've heard before? What is something you noticed? Take maybe a couple answers here. Anybody? Yeah?
If we die with him, we also live with him.
Mm-hmm. If we die with, that's a promise. Yes. Trustworthy saying. Anybody else? Yeah?
God's word is not chained.
Yeah, that's probably the big one. I mean, for this moment, I mean, I have not noticed it that much as I've noticed it now. So thank you for sharing that. Yeah. God's word is not chained. Anybody else? One more? John?
It's all about Jesus.
It's all about Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That is right. Okay, so when we look at verse 8, it does say, remember Jesus Christ. Now, I want to kind of talk about that word remember, because it's not just about recalling. Okay, it's not just about like, hey, let me remember what happened last week, that kind of thing. But instead, it's meant to be like, keep it in the forefront of your mind. Fix your eyes on Christ, right? That's essentially what that means. Does that remind you of another scripture?
Yeah.
I can't help it. We have to go there. Yeah. Hebrews 12. So let's go to Hebrews 12. I didn't put a slide, but we're going to go there. I'm trying to stay in 2 Timothy, but you know what? When we talk about remember Jesus, I mean, literally, this is the explanation. So if you go to Hebrews 12, okay, so you'll go to the right just a few pages from where you're at. If you have your Bibles, it's to the right just a few. And once we're there in Hebrews 12, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. No entanglements. And let us run, right, like an athlete, with perseverance, like a farmer. Okay? The race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Key, perfecter, pioneer of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart, so that you can remain faithful and endure hardship. I love when the Bible confirms the Bible. It just, you know, some people think that Hebrews was written by Paul. Don't really know. John, not really. But there's a lot of similarities there. I would say that it could have been a disciple of Paul because there's a lot of similarities there. A lot of similarities. So going back to 2 Timothy. When we read this, I'm going to try to kind of move along. 8:45 okay?
Sure.
I need those 10 minutes, man. So the idea is don't forget Jesus, right? Don't forget Jesus. Keep your eyes fixed on him. And that's how we endure hardship, by remembering Jesus. Mm-hmm. Okay? Let me get into this next page right there. Boom. Remember Jesus. Whoa. Connection to 12:13 right there. And so we have why two descriptions. I mean, this is the gospel in just one sentence, really. It says, remember Jesus, right? Remember Jesus. And then it goes into raised from the dead, descended from David. I mean, honestly, raised from the dead. This is remember Jesus. And who's Jesus?
The one that was raised from the dead.
The one who had victory over death. And who's about to die?
Paul.
Do you remember that last chapter when we talked about that promised life? He's living for that promised life, y'all.
Yeah.
Right? The victory. And didn't he just say later on, hey, if we die with him, we will also live with him? Right?
Yeah.
Man. Victorious. Right? The victor's crown is on Jesus over death. And what does it mean by descended from David? You know, David was a king. We know that, right?
Yeah.
So it's a descendant of King David, which makes Jesus the king himself. Not only the king, but a reigning king who is alive today. Remember him. Right? He's rose from the dead, conquered death, and is reigning. The promised king, the son of God, the descendant from David. There's a lot there. If you really look into the history, you could just go in. But we're not going to go in that much because we got more to go. Okay? So I like the next part here where he talks about Paul's example. When we look at the next verse. And therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. I love this because he's not speaking theoretically. He is literally living this teaching out. He is living it out. He's the example for Timothy. Okay? This is why it's so interesting, the parallels with Hebrews and this, because it's just like, it's just so connected. It's so connected. I love it. But he endures it for the sake of the elect. That means for you and me, for those who desire to follow Jesus, right? Who believe, Christians, right? Disciples, we like to say. People that want to, you know, love God, fear God, obey his word, right? It's a choice. It really is. It's a choice. But Paul died for the sake for you and I to possibly, maybe, one day decide to follow Christ. And Paul is a human just like you and me. He's no different. He is not the Son of God, y'all.
Nope.
He is a human. Full human just like Jesus was, but not fully God. So, I don't know. It's a tough one. It's a tough ask. Would you die for the gospel? It's a tough ask. It's a tough one. But I think we still can, though. We'll talk about that. Because it's not necessarily means we have to end our life. but we can die to ourselves. And we'll get into that as well. And I like this part here where it says God's word is not changed, because that is a really remarkable statement. Because obviously Paul, being the example that he is, right, he is currently chained. But God's word cannot be chained. So he's living for that. No matter what happens to his body or where he's at or what he's doing, what hardship he's going through, whatever suffering is happening, okay? The word of God will continue, right? And it has. It has. Okay? And it has. So let's continue on with those trustworthy sayings on the bottom. You can say them, that there's like promises, right? So it's a promise, and then kind of a tough warning, right? And then an assurance. Now, we'll get into that last part, because it kind of seems a little confusing, but obviously the promise is easy to understand, right? If we die with him, we will also live with him. That's a promise. Amen. We get that. That makes sense, right? The second is if we endure, right? Again, the question is, how do we endure, right? Here's your reward. You will also reign with him. Right? If we endure, we will also reign with him. That's another promise. Amazing. Here's a tough one. If we disown him, he will also disown us. That's a tough one. And I think, you know, when you read that and you think of other areas where Jesus says, hey, if you're ashamed of me and my Father, I'll be ashamed of you. Right? I think it has a lot to do with our ability to stand up for the gospel, right? Are you ashamed of it? Are you ashamed to be a Christian? Are you ashamed to follow Jesus, right? Will you disown him when life can get kind of tough, or there's so many distractions, or have all these responsibilities? I hope not, right? I hope we can endure, right? Keep Jesus fixed ahead of us. I think it's important that we remember that this is real, right? This is a real relationship with Jesus. It's not just a class, a history class. Okay? Now, sometimes we can think that. But this is real. This is a real relationship. And if he says to say, hey, I will disown you, he says, hey, if you disown me. But the other thing too is if you look at the next one, it's kind of a little bit confusing where it says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Now, some people read that, and I have read commentary on this, where it says, well, it kind of lends to the idea that even if you are faithless, that God is still faithful to you. But really, I tend to agree with this part, which is, it's not even about you. It's not even about you. It's not about your faith. It's about the fact that Jesus, his faith, he cannot disown his own faith. Okay? He cannot disown his own faith. His words, he lives by them 100%.
Oh, yeah.
What he says, he will do. Yeah. We, however, maybe not. But even not, it doesn't matter, because Jesus follows through with what he says. He is always faithful. Because remember, in Hebrews, it said he is the author and perfecter of our faith, right? So if he is the author and perfecter, how can he disown himself? He can't. But we can lose faith for sure. But it's not about us. It's about Jesus. All right, so let's move on. I want to get into the next section, hopefully. I was wondering if I should stop here or keep going, but we're gonna keep going. We endure hardship by keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ. Okay, so let's read this last one. Okay, let's read this last one. You guys ready? All right, it's a little bit long, but we'll get into it. Keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker. Right? A lot of analogies here, a lot of illustrations. A worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have departed from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. In a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, some for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. Flee the evil desires of your youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. All right. So I'm going to kind of just kind of move along here. All right, that's a picture of us serving at Catholic Charities. Okay. All right, it's a nice group. I think we have David's family there, right? It's your mom and sister. That was a good, I wasn't there. I was actually out of town, but that was, we like to serve. You know, really want to encourage you guys to serve with us. We do Catholic Charities, St. Patrick's, Sacred Heart. You know, we try to get out there in the community. But, you know, and when it comes to serving faithfully, I'm not necessarily talking about serving the, you know, people, the needy. Honestly, remember, this is pastoral epistles. These are pastoral epistles. So what I think, you know, I think I missed the, there it is. Yeah. These are pastoral epistles. So essentially, this is, John, Dr. John here. Gotta say the doctor, right? He wrote that, hey, the main themes of the pastoral epistles is that, hey, the work of evangelists, right? The life of an evangelist, opposing false teachers, false teaching, controversies, and divisiveness, and raising up leaders. I mean, you could see all that in that section. All of it in there. Okay? And if we think about it, this is the endurance. So this section is not so much about just a general Christian life, even though we can, but it's really kind of leaning into the idea of like, hey, if you're a leader of a church, or you're leading ministry, or you're leading people, hey, you're going to go through some tough times.
Yeah.
It's tough. Who's a leader here of any group? I know you're a leader of your club. Anybody? Yeah. Leader of groups? Anybody? Leadership experience here? Raise your hand. Anyone? Okay. I mean, you gotta raise your hand, Stephanie. You lead Alpha Omega.
The president!
You're the president! Okay. So, being a leader has its hardships, doesn't it? I mean, so that's why some of us decide, I don't know if I want to lead.
Yeah.
Because there's responsibilities and expectations.
Yes.
It's like, oh, okay, I don't know. But hey, this is Paul. Paul's talking about, hey, you gotta endure. This is to Timothy. He's leader. He's got to serve faithfully, right? Serve faithfully. So I'm not going to get into all these ideas, honestly, because of time. But I'm going to hit some of the highlights, okay? So like, for example, verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God. Who are we working for? When you go to class and you get an A or whatever, a great grade, who is that for?
For John.
Who is that for? Is that for your professor? Okay, when you go to work, and you do your job, and let's say you do it well, who's that for?
For money.
For money, for boss. What if we just change our thinking a little bit and said, hey, I'm getting good grades for God. I'm gonna show up to work on time, do my best job, not because I like my boss, but because I'm working for God. Right? Doesn't that help, like, change your perspective a little bit and your approach? Yeah. It helps a little bit to take ourselves out of the idea that, hey, we're not doing this for people, even though we love people. We're doing this for God. So I think this is what Paul's trying to get at. Hey, do your best. And in other scriptures, they say be diligent. Using that word that he brought up. Be diligent. I like that one better. Because do your best kind of assumes that there's failure. And yeah, it's true. But diligent is a little bit better. Diligent means don't cut corners. Yeah. Right? Like, be mindful. Do the work. Get all the, you know, don't just sweep the floor. Sweep every corner of the, be diligent. You know, be, care about your work. Right? Have a heart for it. And I think, remember, this is in the idea of leading a ministry, leading a church. If anybody here has any desire in the future to do that, it's an honorable job. It's an honorable job. And I want to encourage you, hey, do it. Okay, if you need advice, Dr. John will be the best one to ask about that. But either way, we want to serve God and we want to be an approved worker, the best worker he has, right? The best worker he has. And all it means is, hey, let's not be ashamed of the gospel and let's handle the word correctly. So that implies that, hey, it's possible to handle the word incorrectly. It happens all the time. Okay? So my hope is that for you, that though we're, you know, taking the time to teach, that you yourself do your own research. Dig into the Bible, ask questions, see if what I'm saying or Johnson or anybody's teaching is true. Okay? Yes, John.
Just so you know, this fall we're going to have about a 4 or 5 week class. We're going to train you how to study and interpret the Bible.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. Dr. John Oates wrote 16 Christian books. This guy would be the guy to do it.
You don't know how to correctly handle the word of truth. We're going to teach you.
Yes. Because, you know, if you have, remember, false teaching is a big thing here, right? There's some false teaching. I mean, the resurrection already happened. How horrible is that? I mean, not the resurrection of Jesus, but a resurrection that Paul is waiting for, right? That next resurrection, the one that comes after Jesus for us, already happened. Bro, I tried to conceivably accept that idea and I wanted to cry. I just wanted to cry. I wanted to go under my bed and just not come out. Cause I'm like, what's the point?
Yeah.
What's the point? What's the point? You know? And this is, there's some teaching out there, so just, correctly. Look for the idea of correctly handling it. Ask questions. Be curious. Try to get the right teaching. And if you weren't there for 1 Timothy, you'll know if it's good teaching by the fruit that it produces. Sound teaching provides good fruit. And so will the gospel. Okay. So let's move on because I got to get going here. I know time's moving, but let's go into the last part, the illustration, right, about the houses, the articles of gold and silver. It kind of goes into the idea of being an approved worker, a worker that does not need to be ashamed. Just like this, one thing I forgot to mention, when you go back to verse, 19, at the end there, it says, everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Now, following that same thought, going into verse 20 and into 21, those who turn away from their wickedness themselves will be instruments for special purposes. If I can just sum that up for you as quickly as I can, that would be it. Made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work, right? The illustration is being a good worker. That's the idea, right? Clay breaks. We don't want to use clay and wood. We want to use gold and silver. Those tools are durable and last longer. All right. And it does talk about fleeing desires of our youth. You know, I know Paul knows Timothy well, so he probably suggested a few things there, but also to pursue righteousness. And one thing I will note here is that to pursue righteousness, which is faith, love, and peace, but it also says along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That means don't do it by yourself. Do it in community. Yeah. Community. Okay, so don't try to pursue righteousness on your own. Okay? Try to do it in community. Okay? And then lastly, I wish I had more time. We must not be quarrelsome. Now, real quick, about this quarrelsome thing, he did mention it earlier about godless chatter and not arguing and being quarrelsome. I think we need to be watchful of how we talk. what we say, what kind of conversations we're having. You know, are they going to benefit the person who's listening or just the person overhearing? So you got to be mindful of just how you communicate and what types of stories you talk about, right? And we don't want to quarrel over minor things in the Bible. There are some things that, you know, it's good to know, but really there are other things that are more important that we should know. You know? Mm-hmm. So let's focus on those. And the last thing is, you know, we want to not only, you know, help them, but I like where it says opponents must be gently instructed. Okay. And my wife and I, we've been married. One of the things that we know very well is that we can be right, but wrong at the tip of our tongue. Okay. We can be right, but wrong at the tip of our tongue. That means that you can be, say everything correctly, right? Have all the right meaning, but then say it in an unkind, not gentle way, and it completely won't be received well. Okay. So that is something that I hope you try and attempt when you're, you know, confronting somebody, right? It's to be gentle, not argumentative. All right. Those are really the big points that I wanted to connect. But let's just go into conclusion. All right. Cause I do have another announcement here. So this is our conclusion here. Sorry. Just kind of juggle. So how do we remain faithful, right? Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Remember Jesus, fix your eyes on him and serve faithfully, right? Handle God's word correctly, pursue holiness, and correct others with patience and gentleness. Now, before we go, I know we had discussion questions. We're not going to do that today. I had some fun ones. I mean, look at that. Which of these illustrations, you know?
Maybe you really, take a picture
of
this for your quiet
time. Maybe you could take a picture and then have your quiet time. We're going to skip that. Because we do have another announcement. So I know some of you guys have been coming out for Alpha Omega. And just so you know, Alpha Omega is a club here on campus, but we also connect with Merced College. So we have some Merced College students here as well. But this is also hosted by Merced Christian Church. So, you know, you'll have some members sometimes join us. But really, it is a club, and we want some club members, okay? We want some club members, okay? We want people to join the club, okay? Join the club. So here's how you join. First, you know what? I'm not going to take away her thunder. Stephanie, would you like to come up and share about what this is?
We are the Alpha Omega Club.
You stand over here. Stand over here.
Get deeper
in
the eyes.
And you can see that.
There you go.
You don't have my glasses.
Oh, okay, never mind.
But yeah, like if you guys want to become an Alpha Omega Club member, you guys can give your full UC email so that I can invite you guys to it and then you guys can accept it if you guys want it. We created a group chat for Alpha Omega Club where we would, you know, give announcements or
volleyball at 5:30.
Yeah, like things like that. Oscar is our mentor / leader, John our leader as well / mentor. And so it's a space that we can grow together, community, supporting one another. We also have really fun events. And part of being of our club would be like attending our Bible talk.
Attending this.
Yeah, serving also like, yeah, serving. Like Catholic charities. If you guys have time and stuff. It would also be... volunteering.
You said that, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be really fun.
Yeah, so we want to help build a Christ-centered community here at UC Merced, but Merced College too. But really, the UC Merced email is for those students, you guys that are in UC Merced, to give her that. Honestly, if we have a large club, we can get funding to do fun things here on campus. And we definitely want to do some of that, you know, especially with some of the lessons that John wants to do. We want to enjoy this club with you guys, but we need you to sign up. Okay, we need to sign up. And once you do, you'll be in the group chat. Be in the group chat. So.
Yeah.
Did you guys accept the request?
Yeah. I don't know how to do
it.
Oh, yeah. We'll show you.
Okay, we'll show you. All right. So that is it for today. Sorry, guys. I would have, you know, been a little longer. So, John, do you have any announcements? I did do the announcements already.
I don't know. Noe and Gabby, they have a baby now.
Woo! Oh, yeah.
5:30 in the morning, Mateo
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's Mateo?
Mateo.
It's a beautiful name.
Mateo.
Okay, Mateo.
That's sort of cool.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So join the club. Join the club. Join the club. Okay? Join the club.
Today's priority, finding a field engineer. The job post isn't getting enough responses, so I upgrade to premium sponsored jobs on Indeed.
Field engineer.
Okay, quick. We got 4 minutes. We got 4 minutes. You gotta go. You gotta go. Yeah, it's all good. Hey, thank you for coming. Okay. Make sure you give your email to Stephanie. Okay. Oh, okay. Perfect. Yeah, that's right. Bye. Hey, you have, thanks for coming.
See you later.
The wind do stung us and so I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. So all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And that's all, it's not much, there's nothing else fit for a king. Songs on his heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. As one response, I've got just one move, with thy arms stretched wide. I'm a lordship you, and I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but something else fit for a king. Songs for the heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on my soul, but don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. You got a line inside of those lungs. Cut up and praise the Lord. And come on my soul, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. We've got a line inside of those lungs. Cut up and praise the Lord. And I throw up my hands, praise you again and again.